Suppose you imagine that you are tuned in to a cosmic mind. And that you are sort of a television set. And now it broadcasts to you, broadcasts to someone else. And everyone tuned into it receives the same information. If it were a radio or TV transmitter and you tuned into it, you would have an image on your screen, and any other individual would have another image, so that there might be 50, 60, 70 million images on screens, but all about one program. All the images would be pretty much the same, but all about the same one. Now, as the cosmic mind broadcasts using your mind as its TV set, the thing that it broadcasts is you. You become the image of the cosmic mind. We know it isn't a divine image. And we walk around in this cosmic mind image, each of us tuned to it, supported by it, fed by it, sustained by it, each assuming this personal sense of me, this image, not realizing that it has merely been televised to us by the cosmic mind. And then it continues that program, while each of us is tuned to it because we know no other way. It now televises a flood. And all those in a certain area looking at the same cosmic mind experience the flood. In another area, it televises a hurricane. And all those in that area tuned to the cosmic mind, they experience the hurricane. Always, to them, it seems external to themselves. And they seem external to each other. But they are all images in the one cosmic mind. You will discover that when you look at another individual, you're looking at a cosmic mind image. When they look at you, they are looking at a cosmic mind image. But then something even stranger takes place. The image that you are is the cosmic mind image passing through your consciousness, changed by your consciousness to the level of your receptivity. And so your consciousness of the cosmic mind brings forth an image called you. And so when I look at you, I am looking at your consciousness of the cosmic mind made visible as your image. And then I do a strange thing. I make another image about your image in my mind. And so I see my mental concept of your image. And someone else comes and looks at you, and they look at the same image that I looked at, and they make a mental image about you. I think I'm looking at you, and they think they're looking at you, but neither of us are. We are both looking at our own mental images about you. In my mind is an image about you, and that's all I can see of you. And whoever looks at you can see nothing more than the mental image that they make of you. And if 50 million people look at you, they are seeing 50 million different mental images about you. And it's important to know this for several reasons. You may think you're sick. And 50 million people looking at you will say, she's sick or he's sick. But one of those 50 million might be Jesus Christ. and he would not look at his mental image of you as the rest would. He would look through your mental image of yourself instead of accepting it and making a mental image of it himself. And he would see through the cosmic mind image which you are showing forth to the divine. And because he would see the divine, because the eye of him had been lifted up to see the divine, he would change the image of you in himself. And that image of you in himself which was changed would be the eye of him lifting you up. And that being the higher consciousness, it would change your image. And then everyone looking at you would see another image, and then they would make a mental image of that image. Because if I be lifted up, I will lift all men unto me. And the way it is done is that the image which each of us sees another in is always the same until there is one who sees from a spiritual point of view and then sees not the cripple but the perfect whole being and makes an image of that which is not a cripple. And that being the higher image, the higher consciousness, the eye lifted up, it transforms the image of the cripple within itself, lifting up the image of the cripple to its own wholeness. Now, everywhere you are looking at, no matter whom you are looking at, that individual you are seeing is your own mental image, not theirs. They are not external to you at all. They appear to be, because we're all tuned to the one cosmic mind. We're all watching the same TV program and all receiving the same program from it and seeing it on the cosmic mind. We all think we're seeing outside of ourselves. Now, these mental images that we have in ourselves about other people never get outside of our own minds. I have never seen you. I have only seen my mental image about you. But the Christ mind does not accept that mental image about you, but knows you as you are. And that is what is meant by the transformation. And that is why we are told to die to self. We're not dying to self at all. We're dying to the cosmic mind image we have accepted as self, which is not self. The cosmic mind image is the one that grows, that changes, that becomes sick and well, stout and thin, young and then old. That cosmic mind image is not the divine image of us. It is not our being. God is my being. And you see, when you're not practicing the one self, you are tuned to the cosmic mind, which broadcasts individual images to each of us, which we all form concepts about and make visible as ourselves. And then we walk around as image, seeing image that isn't there, except in mind. And before you know it, we have that world, which is not our Father's kingdom, in which the law is not the law of God, but is the law of the cosmic mind, or the carnal mind, and is karmic law. Now, that is the way 1 billion God-worshipping Christians are living today. And that is the way the world is living today, regardless of the religion in which they are exposing themselves. All are tuned to the one world mind. It is broadcasting. And this world that you see is nothing more than that cosmic television program made visible through the images that we entertain about it. All of it is one illusion. Not many. Many within the one. And we are breaking out of it by standing still, learning that when I see an external someone, I'm seeing a lie, because the only one there is my one being. When I see an external condition, I'm seeing a lie. I'm looking at a television program. And if the weather changes, that is just a change in programs. No matter what happens in the outer, it is not happening in the outer. It is only seemingly happening outer. It is happening in the cosmic mind and nowhere else. And the cosmic mind is broadcasting it through images who call themselves people. But behind those images, I am. Behind the cosmic mind, I am. Where the cosmic mind and its images appear, God is. And God is my identity. And therefore, we learn that everything we're seeing is a picture put forth by a mind which is not the mind of God, but which is there for a purpose. That purpose being to make us make the choice between God being or human being. To make us reach inside and accept on faith the invisible activity of God. To enable us to walk through the cosmic mind pictures, free of them, and thus develop the Christ consciousness by this process. As a child would depend on the parent, we learn to depend upon the invisible, even in spite of the tidal wave and the hurricane, in spite of the pestilence and the flood, in spite of every image that comes at us, we learn to depend on the invisible self of being. And this is how you develop the faculty of the fourth dimension. All of this is necessary that I may be lifted up in you, so that after a while you become aware of the trials and tribulations in the outer are merely those which are pressing us forward to the test of I in the midst of me, until that moment when I can release myself to I and know that I in the midst of me is greater than every condition in the cosmic world of television. And then to stand in the midst of the images of the world, defenseless, knowing the nothingness of all world images, the non-reality, the non-power, the non-substance. This is how you find yourself. Now we have two passages that stress it from two different directions. In I Am the Vine, in John, we see it from the standpoint of how it must be for us to stand still. Let's look at that first. Abide in me. And this is a stress in John, the abiding. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now, this abiding in me, then, is abiding in one being, in the knowledge of one infinite self. There is no other way to stand and face the cosmic mind except in the knowledge of one being, which I am. You cannot meet it as an individual person. And it's important to see that you're facing a cosmic mind. And you must meet it as an infinite being. For that is the only place where I am greater than the cosmic mind. So you're abiding in the infinite nature of self. And this is the meaning of abide in me. I in you. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. When you're not in the one self, this cosmic television is automatically taking place 24 hours a day. It doesn't matter what you are doing, if you're not in the one self, it is functioning your life. You can be the president of the United States or the head of a bank. You can be doing all fine things in your estimation, but cosmic mind is running you. And ultimately that will be revealed. You will be discovered to be stripped of your power. Senility comes in. The great man becomes a doddering nobody, needing people to just sign his name for him. Why? It was cosmic mind all the time. It wasn't a president. It wasn't a chairman of the board. It wasn't an executive. It was cosmic mind appearing as. It was an image in the mind of the world. And each one thought he was looking at this one, but each was looking at his own mental image about this one, and this one was a mental image of the cosmic mind. That is the reason for the abiding in the knowledge of the one self. As yourself, you cannot meet cosmic mind from an individual, personal level. You might as well be a pebble on the beach trying to hold back the Atlantic Ocean. Now, on the other side, we see Paul taking it from the carnal mind in Romans. In Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, the flesh, then, is the mental image we entertain about self in the carnal mind, thinking that this me walking here is something, when this me walking here is nothing more than a cosmic image made visible. And in between this visible me and the cosmic mind is a consciousness called me, which is interpreting the cosmic into the local appearance. That consciousness is the key. When that consciousness is pure spiritual consciousness, the cosmic mind comes to it and makes no impression. It comes then to a spiritual consciousness, which is the Christ mind. And the Christ mind does not accept the Antichrist, which is the cosmic mind. And karmic law is broken. The continuity of the cosmic telecast no longer puts forth a false image. There is a change of current, a switch over to the infinite mind. And you are fed by the infinite instead of the cosmic. You are one with the infinite. You come under a completely new set of laws, all of which are perfect. And transformation is underway. The physical form, which was a cosmic image, is now changed over. We are released from dependence upon it. We are released from its infirmities, from its limitations. And the body of the soul of the infinite mind is now taking place. We are changing form, changing bodies, and in the process changing universes, changing identity from an image to being itself. This cosmic television is the nature of the carnal mind which Paul had discovered too. For they which are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. You see, it's really death all the way, not just at the moment of death. It seems to be life. It's the imitation of life. It's the image thinking it is alive. And when we learn there is no life in that image and can stand still, we are absent from the image and present with the infinite mind. Paul's chapter 8 is about cosmic television. John's chapter 15 is about infinite television. And we, living in the knowledge of oneself, break the law of karma for those, including ourselves, who have reached that place in consciousness which demands transformation. It's almost unbelievable to a human mind, but everything you see in this world is a mental image. Whether it's a mountain or a river, a planet or a hemisphere, even the sun in the sky. All of it is a cosmic telecast. And the switch of consciousness is the way you switch it off. And lo and behold, here's my Father's kingdom, present all the time. I was simply in the wrong channel of thought. Behold, one being makes all things new. The eye of your being lifted up in consciousness. Daily, consciously, through meditation, through communion, leading to the I within you expressing itself, making its own inner statements of truth to you, voicing its own truth, coming forth through you as a living soul of your own being. It is not under cosmic law. It is not subject to hallucination. It is not powerless before that which has no reality. It has no disease. It has no age. It has no processes. It is the infinite self being itself always. And it is I. Now we must know then that when we are not consciously living as one being, we are nothing but an image in cosmic television. And all we can witness is other images. We are of the world that is not the kingdom of our Father. And who is that we who is of the world? It is just an image that we are throwing forth from our invisible consciousness. And that consciousness is a false consciousness. We are living in a polarized sense of self which has no reality. Death is not death. Death is the end of the illusion. But he who takes part in the first resurrection is not even touched by the end of that illusion. For now, we swallow up that death. in breaking the continuity of this cosmic telecast. In seeing that because I am being, and being is the one mind, there is no mind here to behold that which is unreal. No mind here to behold that which is subject to pain, to suffering, to evil. And therefore, every time I behold evil or pain or suffering, what am I looking with? I'm looking with a mind that has no existence. I'm looking with the cosmic mind in me. It is looking through me and beholding the pain it put there. I'm a victim of a mind that I do not have. You never have seen evil. Never have you seen evil. The cosmic mind coming through you as the Antichrist mind looks out and sees the evil. But when you are in mind, divine mind, divine consciousness, that Antichrist mind cannot come through to see evil, because all the evil it sees is within its own mind, a mind that has been posing as yours and mine. Everything on our television set that we see in these images is in the one transmitter. We see it in our living room, but it comes from another source. We see our world around us in our mind, but it comes from another source, and that source is not God. That source is the cosmic mind. And therefore, there's one thing I've got to clear up in Joel's book. It disturbs me. It's this. On page 103 in the sixth chapter, Joel is making a point, and unless you understand it, you can be caught in a trap. Now, Joel says, God is doing all these things without our advice or petition. Tells us to trust him. Now, if God knows enough to continue to put the fish in the sea and the birds in the air and so forth, if God knows enough to keep the tides in their places, ebbing and flowing. Now, I want you to see that what is happening here is not God doing these things. And the reason that I'm pointing it out is that it's like God being the substance of all form. If you mistake God as the substance of this form, and you mistake God as the substance of the tides and of the moon and of the river, you have not caught his meaning. God is the spiritual substance. What God is doing is invisible. God isn't turning these tides visibly. God isn't putting fish in the sea visibly. That's our concept of what Spirit is doing. And from what we have just talked about, the cosmic telecast, it works this way. God is being God. And that is you. And the cosmic mind is forming an impression of God being God, which translates into the visible as fishes in the sea, tides turning, but that isn't God doing it, that's cosmic mind doing it in its interpretation of God, and it's you receiving this picture from cosmic mind in your mind. And you know it's not God doing it because a storm comes up at sea. And you know God isn't bringing up a storm at sea. What is it? It's cosmic mind. And when the master says to the storm, be still, it is I, what is it? That's you standing still in the face of a cosmic image, knowing that's all it is a cosmic image. And you're as frightened of it as you would be of a storm on your television set. This world for you becomes a cosmic image, broken up into lots of pieces. And no piece of it is more real than any other. Neither the good nor the bad. We're learning to walk through these images, knowing where they come from is nowhere. They are all the mirage over the desert. God is being God, and that is our name, and we stand in our name to face the cosmic images, knowing the power of God has never gone away. The power of God is present, and that power is functioning now, without opposite, until the cosmic images to you are nothing but smoke. You can stop a storm at sea because there never will be one. There will only be an image there in the cosmic mind. And you'll find that's the same thing with tidal waves and hurricanes. You'll find it's the same thing with every disease on the earth. All is an image in mind put there by the cosmic mind, and it isn't God doing any of it. But God is present, and only God. And the cosmic mind itself is naught but the illusion we entertain in the absence of our realization that God alone is present. The minute you step out of the fullness of God, you create a cosmic mind. It has no existence when you are in the fullness of God. In Christ Jesus, the cosmic mind ceases to exist. There's no shadow unless you're not in reality. And so we have God being self, you, cosmic mind and its images, and one of those images is you, another is your friend, another is your mother, father, sister, brother. We leave the images. We recognize mother, father, brother, sister as an image, which is my invisible self all the time. Everything is accepted as my invisible self, and I call no man my father because God is my being and God has no father. Everyone you see is God invisible. There is no other. There is no other self. And every time you accept another self than God anywhere, you have denied your identity. That's a rather fine place to come to, where all you can accept on this earth is the invisible presence of God. And yet that is what is requested of us if we would follow the path of truth. I and my Father are one identity, and there can be no other identity accepted on the earth. All is one identity. And that's the only way you will ever be about your Father's business. Now, I know this is difficult, the living of it. The saying of it is easy. The living of it, the conscious awareness of it, the practice of it. But the presence that you're to practice is yourself. You're practicing the presence of yourself as the presence, of your neighbor as the presence, and you're losing the identity of the image as your neighbor, of the image as you, until there is no two of anything in the world. There is only the one infinite presence, and that is where you're living, moving, and having your being, in order to experience my kingdom, which is not of this world. The dice of God are loaded is the chapter for next week, the 7th. By the time the mystical eye is released, I'm quite sure we'll find that it is our own consciousness that we're looking at in that book. By the way, don't any of you buy the book. Immortality House is giving each of you a gift of the mystical eye. And they ought to be here within a week or two, maybe even next week, I don't know. But if you're not here, it'll be mailed to you, don't worry. We're very happy this thought came and the opportunity to do this. Because it's Joel's final work, I believe, and it means a great deal to us to see his work in the hands of those who are following the greatest teaching that the world has seen in the last 2,000 years. Well, happy Mother's Day. Thank you.